Howler's carpet passed from sight. The 100 million whispers began to fade. Lady collapsed. They lifted her onto the stretcher. Swan and Blade manned its ends. Her most loyal soldiers surrounded them, men who had been with her for years. I told Swan, "You don't have to worry about them up there. They're headed for Overlook with their tails between their legs. Mogaba is unconscious and probably hurt. Nobody's in charge anymore." Swan gave me an incredulous look. "What the hell are you telling me for? Find your damned captain and tell him." "Good idea." I went. Chapter 32. The Prabhrindradhra's division suffered horribly yet again. Mogaba's men refused to forget the first law of survival: never turn your back. It's hard to kill a soldier who clings to his training when every instinct and emotion tells him to throw down his arms and run away, or to curl up in a ball to shut out the terror. The whole point of drilling soldiers till they whine about the stupidity of it all is so those soldiers will do the right thing automatically when the terror comes. Combat is fear, and management of fear, far more than it is organized murder. Those who manage fear best will seize the day. The old man observed for so long, without intervening in the prince's situation, that his own staff started grumbling. I asked him why he was holding off. "I want him to show Taglios what he's made of. I want to see that myself. I don't want there to be any doubts about him when he takes charge." It had a nice ring, but still sounded suspect. I was developing a very suspicious attitude where Croker was concerned. Later he had Lady's division, supported by Willow Swan's guards, replace the prince's division. Lady made rapid gains until Mogaba managed to reassert his control on the other side. She was so exhausted, the witchery she could manage amounted to little more than distractions. I wondered why Croker didn't just back off until she recovered. I no longer spent much time trying to unravel his thoughts, though. Dark designs or otherwise, I did not know the man anymore. He withdrew Lady's division shortly before noon. He moved archers up on the flanks, arrayed his own two divisions for the advance, in the follow-on mode where one force fights to exhaustion, then the next advances through its positions to attack the hopefully decimated enemy. But before the drums began their grim chant, he took a white flag forward. I tagged along, carrying the standard. The damned thing needed to go on a diet. It seemed to be getting heavier. I was put out. I was here only because Croker insisted. I wanted to be out riding smoke, finding out what Long Shadow and Howler and Soulcatcher and whoever were up to. The Radisha needed checking too. I had not looked in on her in far too long. At least she wouldn't be aware of events here for a while. Mogaba surprised me by coming down to meet us. He limped. He sported an array of bandages. I imagine that if he hadn't been so dark, he would have shown a fine crop of bruises. One of his eyes was swollen shut. His lips were compressed against the pain, but he betrayed no more emotion than an ebony statue. He said, "You managed to exploit our vulnerabilities very skillfully." Wearily and wearily, Croker said, "The asshole hamstrung you. Do we have to waste any more life?"